since independently releasing her debut album, Just Like Leaving, in 2020, just as she turned 20, the bluegrass-steeped country folk artist got signed by Rounder Records, was touted among the best new acts at Americana Fest 2022, performed at Willie Nelson's 2023 Luck Reunion, and on April 25th made her Grand Ole Opry debut, which I guess she described as a forever dream for a little girl who loves country music. That was just days before after the release of her second album, among other things. The bluegrass situation speculates that Bella White may be the next queen of country and bluegrass heartache. And we will find out for ourselves, and I'm sure we'll be in full agreement, after her debut set on the main stage of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. That's opening day, Thursday, June 15th, noon to 1. Bella, thanks for taking time out of your hectic schedule to join me.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to do this.
Thank you. So growing up, we understand your dad was a major influence. He played bluegrass. Please talk about how he impacted your life and work and the all-consuming influence of music in general.
I mean, he influenced me in so many ways. He pretty much exposed me to, you know, this kind of music that I've grown so fond of and have such an important relationship with now. He was always playing it in bands and around the house, and he pretty much, you know, showed me the music that I love, and we played it together. He kind of taught me how to play in many ways, and then fully supported me in finding my own relationship to the music, and my mom too. So I feel like just having that kind of direct line to bluegrass and Appalachian music, you know, I couldn't have really like gotten, I don't think, to where I am now if it wasn't for that source.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there other musical influences, classic and modern both? And in this context, please talk about the synergy between music and your emotional landscape.
Yeah, there are so many other musical influences. I mean, someone that's been a huge influence to me has been Joni Mitchell and her songwriting. And like, talk about synergy between music and emotional landscape. I feel like she kind of could teach a masterclass in that. She has, you know, been such a poignant writer, and I feel like she does what I kind of like to call feelings telling, where she has this, you know, really kind of prolific way of making you feel and sharing a sentiment with you that then you can relate to pretty immediately. So I feel like someone like Mitchell is a huge influence. Some more modern people, there's a songwriter out of Nashville named Erin Ray, and she writes very amazing songs that I've been really inspired by. But, you know, the list goes on, like Emmylou Harris, Linda Ronstadt, all of the queens of country.
Yes.
Been huge to me.
Great. And that synergy between music and your own emotional landscape, could you just address that? It's discussed everywhere your name is talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that music for me has been a way to understand my emotions and express myself and process my emotions. Like, songwriting has always been an outlet for me. You know, it started as me writing in my journal, and it most of the time still always does, you know. So I feel like kind of having that place where I can, it's kind of like a reserve for my emotions, you know, I can like, or a reservoir for my emotions, I can kind of dump them there and they can live there and exist, and then I can pull from them when I need to, you know.
Great, wonderful description, thank you. Is music something you always knew you would do, or did a musical career just happen organically?
I mean, I knew forever that it was something I would do, and I didn't know what that necessarily meant, if that meant a career or just a really strong hobby. But
right,
you know, it became pretty clear quickly that I was in it for the long haul, when it was the only thing I ever wanted to do, and when the thought of, you know, kind of like pursuing anything else kind of just like left me feeling with a little bit of a pit in my stomach, you know. I just wanted to play music and write songs and do all that. So I guess it was, I always knew, and then it became extra clear when I was like a teenager and trying to figure out what to do with my life.
Right, which is really something. I mean, I understand that the sort of epiphany occurred at, for sure, at age 16. But was there a particular song, an album, a concert that really cinched it for you?
I wouldn't say there was like one particular moment. I mean, I think kind of it was like a culmination of a million moments, you know, of like hearing so many songs that I loved and seeing, I was lucky to get to see a lot of live music as a kid and a teen. And I don't know, I think that it was kind of like a, just a big kind of culmination of all of the experiences that I'd had. I feel like I was like able to really kind of visualize that for myself. And when I started kind of, you know, getting to meet some other young people who were doing it, like, you know, Molly Tuttle was someone that I met when I was like 13 or 14, and she was like kind of starting to have her big career that she's still having now. And I think watching some like kind of young people really take off, I was like, oh, this is something that you can do. It's not just a dream, you know, it's a reality.
Great. Talk about Rounder Records and why you're so stoked to be on that label.
I mean, Rounder has the richest history. I feel like it's something that I really love about Rounder is that they've got this like this deep connection to bluegrass music and country music, and they put out so many of, you know, the bluegrass records that really like kind of shaped the bluegrass world, like the Stanley Brothers and, you know, some really old classic stuff. And now they still carry that lineage, but they also are open-minded and open to, you know, having some kind of new direction in the terms of like what the Americana or roots music direction is going in. And I think that I feel really lucky to be, you know, at a label where I can do both things, you know, like I can feel like I love bluegrass music and this old music. And I feel like that's understood. And yet we're still like taking risks and stepping outside of the box in new ways. And I think that that's like the biggest gift of Rounder, in my opinion, is just like how the history and then how they're willing to kind of like, you know, widen the margins of like what this music means.
Yep. They're kind of moving with the times.
Yeah.
So
of course.
Let's talk about your sophomore release, among other things. Anything you want to say on that subject? Does it create the emotional soundscape that we just discussed for you? And will Festivarians get to hear tracks from both Just Like Leaving and Among Other Things?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Among Other Things in some ways creates more of that emotional kind of soundscape and landscape for me in many ways. I feel like I wrote that whole album, you know, in the pandemic when I was alone and very deep in my feelings. And I think that there was some like insane catharsis that came with eventually making that music that I played with other people. You know, like my first album, when I wrote it, I was like playing all those songs with people from the beginning. You know, I would write a song and then the next day I would show it to my friends and try and play it together and kind of see what would come up. And this album, Among Other Things, was a lot more of a solo endeavor in the terms of writing and kind of exposing those songs to other instruments and people. And when we finally went into the studio, I think that I could really feel that the kind of energy that people were putting into it. And it feels like, I feel like these songs are their own little universes. And then to answer your second question, yes, 100%. We are still playing tons of songs from Just Like Leaving. So there will be some on that teller too.
Great. So going forward, and sort of based on what you just described about Among Other Things, will you continue to celebrate old bluegrass, or do you see yourself stretching beyond those long established boundaries and putting a signature stamp on the genre?
I mean, I will always continue to celebrate old bluegrass. It is like truly my bread and butter, and it's what taught me music. So it's always in my heart, and I will always have a relationship with it. And at the same time, I'm very interested in exploring and not putting myself in a box and allowing myself freedom to, you know, really create widely. And I think that you can strike a balance between both things, and that's what I'm going to try and do.
Perfect. Thank you. And it's, we talked about the Grand Ole Opry being one of your dream places. Is Telluride one of those places too? And if yes, what are you looking forward to most about being on the main stage?
I mean, Telluride is definitely one of those places. It's like such an iconic festival. I have like so many memories of my dad talking about going to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival when he was younger and playing with his band and like I think the band competition there. So it's fun to kind of, be living that experience for myself now and in my own way. And I mean, just being on that stage, it's a beautiful view. I've seen the photos, so that's going to be pretty next level. And to just know that, like I said this about the Opry, and I feel the same way about Telluride. Like, it's truly like to be kind of among the greats. Like the history is so rich, and so many of my heroes have played on that stage. And so to be able to do that myself feels just like a big honor.
Well, thank you very much. This has been Susan Niebrock. Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with Bella White, called by many critics the next queen of country and bluegrass heartache. You will find her on the main stage at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Thursday, June 15th. She'll be up there from noon to 1. Bella, thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.